John chapter number 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Heavenly Father, thank you for the portion of the scriptures we were allowed to share together. And Lord, already in our minds, dear God, the Holy Spirit of God is, I think, crafting a picture. Here Jesus proclaims himself as the door. Help us to understand this morning. Help us to gain, Lord, please, in our mind a pure understanding of what this is talking about. May we, Lord, not only allow Jesus to be that door in which we entered in to be saved, but Lord, that we would then allow him to be the good shepherd of our lives. Use the Bible this morning to comfort, Lord. There's some that are going through nighttime experiences, and Lord, they need to understand. Thank God there is a sheepfold, and Lord, there's a place to go during the dark hours. And Lord, thank you for the door that protects us during those times in our life. Use the scriptures to our advantage, please, and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like him. We are entering now the seventh month of preaching on Jesus. I'm hoping that this is having an effect on our congregation. I'm hoping that week in, week out, bringing Jesus Christ front and center to our lives, focusing fully on him, I hope that it's starting to transform and change and renew you. There is no better goal that you can set for your life than to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a different goal than that, I'm telling you this morning, you ought to change that goal, trade it in for the ultimate goal, and that is to be like Jesus. He is everything. He is all in all. He's the supreme example. He's our Savior. He's our friend. He's our Redeemer. I don't know who you have your eyes on, but I'll tell you this. If it's anybody but Jesus, sooner or later they'll disappoint you or they'll lead you astray. They may be very good and have the best of wishes and the purest of motives, but all of us are frail and human and clay and sinful. And that's why that we are exhorted in the Scriptures, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I hope that this year at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we've been able to refocus on the Lord Jesus Christ. What I ask you to do at the beginning of the year, if you're not doing it, let me remind you, it's great that we are coming to the pulpit 50 times and bringing Jesus before you, but I would ask the congregation of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, would you spend 2011 living in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? I will tell you this, and I hope you don't take it wrong, but I have spent so much time studying the life of Jesus Christ that these subjects come to me effortlessly. I have studied it. I have walked it. I have viewed it. I have tried to live it. To me, this is everything. And I don't know if I'm getting it across. Are you sleeping? Are you there? Is there a spiritual pulse? Are you getting this? This isn't just another series of sermons so that we can have a theme and fill up a year. To me, this is the everything of the Christian life. If you would grab hold of the idea that I'm not put on earth to be me or to be somebody else, but I am put on earth to conform to the image of Christ and to shine and reflect the glory of Christ in my life, then I will tell you that at that moment, your life will begin to be transformed. Your Christian life will be transformed as never before. Now, we're going to look at Jesus in this context that he presents himself in John chapter number 10. He says, I am the door. I am the door. There are two word pictures presented in John chapter 10, two I am word pictures to help us better understand who Jesus Christ is. The first is contained in the first 10 verses of the chapter, and that's what we'll focus on this morning. The second is found in the next 8 verses following, and we won't preach on those this morning. The first word pictures Jesus as the door to a sheepfold, the place where the sheep are secured and protected. The second word picture, verse 11 through 18, portrays Christ as the good shepherd, the person who leads the sheep to nourishment, personally protects the sheep when they are outside of the sheepfold. This morning, I want to consider the first one. I want to look at Jesus. I want to study the proclamation that he made concerning this, a fact that he says, I am the door. The first word picture we're given in John chapter 10 is of a sheepfold. The door of a sheepfold. The place where the sheep are secured and protected. Can I share some Bible truths with you this morning? And I know that there's folks at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I prayed for you this morning. I prayed specifically God would use this first thought in our message to help you. Number one, the sheep are placed here during the night, the dark hours. When did the sheep gather to the sheepfold? At nightfall. During the midnight hours, the hours when predators roam under the cover of darkness looking for opportunities to kill and destroy and maim. Now Jesus wants to come to us during those dark times in our life, put us into the fold, and then he wants to become the door. He is the only way that anyone can get to us. Jesus Christ says, I am the door. He is our protection in times of the darkness in this life. There are times of great darkness, not just for the lost, but even for the saved. Even for someone who's a child of God. Even for someone who's been born again. I had an opportunity to talk to a preacher this week. I had no idea about this situation. If I'd known about it, I'd forgotten about it. And he reminded me, he said, I don't know if you remember, but a couple years ago, he said, our 20-year-old son was killed in a head-on collision, killed in an accident. And I spent about 15 minutes talking to him about that and listening to him and trying to minister to him and try to share some of the Word of God with him. Folks, listen to me. There are Christians that are going through some dark times on this earth. I got a call Wednesday, and unexpected here. We had an appointment for Bethany Ross to go in Tuesday. We thought this would be a normal appointment, and they would let her go. And all of a sudden, Tuesday evening, I'm sorry, I got the call the text first, then a call, they're not letting her leave the hospital. They're saying that she's in danger. They can't let her leave the property. That if she has one more jar or accident, she could be permanently paralyzed. There's something being pinched back in her vertebrae. They took her in Wednesday morning, had back surgery, had to put a metal plate in here. Now, folks, listen to me. This morning, I want some of you to get this, that just live in your own little world, and if it doesn't affect you, you don't care. One of our sisters in Christ here, she's at home. She's 25, right? 25 years of age. You imagine being 25 with the idea that you may never regain full feeling in your lower extremities. You may have to use a walker for the rest of your life. Listen, folks, you know what those are called? Those are called midnight hours. Times of darkness that comes into a people's life. I went and seen Mary Berger, Brother Harold. I got to spend some time with him trying to encourage him and pray with him and all this. But he told me, he said, Brother Jerry, he said, I don't know what it is. He said, and you know what? If you've ever been around Harold and Mary, now they're old people, young people, okay? They're old people. But they're like a couple little lovebirds. I mean, I've never met a man that loves his wife more dearly or a woman that loves her husband more dearly than Harold and Mary Berger. They just, and you know what? He's got all of the care and concern for his little bride there. And he told me, he said, Preacher, he said, I guess I'm doing okay. I said, how you doing? And he said, I guess I'm doing okay. He said, I can't sleep. He said, I finally get to sleep about midnight. And he said, boy, between 3:45 and about 4, almost every morning I wake up and I lay there and then I get up and make coffee. But he said, I guess I can do all right on 3 hours. I've been doing it for a long time. And worried, concerned. Here his wife has cancer and she's fighting chemo and then her kidneys have shut down. They're having to do dialysis. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Now, folks, it may be them tomorrow or today and us tomorrow. And every single person in this room that's a born-again Christian, the people I've mentioned are not people that are out living in the world and spending Saturday nights in the bars and out carousing and living a... These are born-again Christian people, and you know what? Every single person will go through those dark times in their life. You know what? I want to say this. During the dark hours of your life, thank God you have a sheepfold. They have a safe place to rest and mend. Thank God for the sheepfold. People that are going through darkness, they have a porter who guards the gate during the darkness. They have a door that lets them in. Then they have a door that keeps the destroyer out. You know, there's times where God just needs to kind of move you into the sheepfold for a while, and he just stands at the door and he just says, you know what, this is one of my children and they've been through it and they're going through it. You know what, I'm going to see to it that the devil doesn't hurt them and the devil doesn't mess with them. And God takes responsibility for his sheep. It's wonderful to be saved. Now, this world is a dark place. If you haven't noticed, it's controlled by the prince of darkness, the prince and power of the air. There's an evil in this world. And we need, as Christians, the sheepfold during times of the direct attacks that come from the evil one. There is a nighttime predator out there. And I want to say to all of you, I mentioned a few people in our church, but there's other folks in this church sitting right in this auditorium, and you're going through a dark time in your life right now. And I want you to understand something. It's during the darkness that a lot of times the predator, that roaring lion, he'll tear you up and tear you down if you're not careful. Be sober. If you're going through dark times, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about whom seeking whom he may devour. Now, Jesus takes special care. Preacher, I can't make it. Yes, you can, because you have a shepherd and you have a sheepfold and you have a door that will let you in and a door that will close and protect you. And yes, you can make it. Yes, you can make it. There are going to be times of intense personal spiritual attack in your life. I'm just going to say it. They that live godly will suffer persecution. You shall suffer persecution. Paul warned the church of Ephesus, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, that evil day is talking about there's going to be times where these principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, they're going to target you. They're going to target your marriage. They're going to target your children. They're going to target your family. You have to understand that you cannot slack off. You've got to put on the armor of God. You've got to stand in that evil day. Well, preacher, I'm getting tired. You've got to stand even though you're tired. But I'm discouraged. Well, I know you're discouraged. I've been there. But you still got to stand. You got to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to stand strong. Well, I can't do it by myself. Aren't you glad you don't have to? Aren't you glad there's a shepherd? Aren't you glad there's a sheepfold? Aren't you glad there's a door? Aren't you glad that there's times where God will let you? Yeah, he'll let you. He'll let Satan have a certain amount of access to you. He did Job. And he'll let a certain amount of persecution come. But I like the fact that during the darkest of the dark hours, the shepherd will go out and get the sheep and say, okay, it's time to go in the sheepfold. And I remember many, many a time in my life that God just kind of said, okay, for this time I'm going to secure you away, and I'm going to place strong walls around you, and I'm going to act as the door, and it's time now for you to rest and to heal some and to get some help in your life. And folks, listen to me. Aren't you glad we have that? Now I want to encourage our people. Listen, there's going to be times when Satan comes after you. Luke chapter 22, the Lord said unto Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. Did you get that? If you remember, by the way, the sequence of events that immediately followed the warning of Jesus Christ, Satan did make a specific personal bid for the future of Peter. You know what? Satan didn't want Peter standing up on Pentecost and preaching and 3,000 people getting saved. So the devil, I hope this is encouraging you. The devil said, I'm going to sift him as wheat. I'm going to destroy him before he has a chance to do that. I'm going to try to discourage him. I'm going to try to get him to betray Christ, and then I'm going to use the guilt of that betrayal to try to get him to forsake Christ and forsake his calling. And you know what? Yes, he stumbled and he fell, and he failed some, but you know what? God came along as that good shepherd along the banks of the Sea of Galilee and called out Peter's name and got him back to shore and made the bread and the fish and fed him and encouraged him and quizzed him a little. Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? And said, Peter, let me tell you a little bit about your future. And yes, it's going to be tough, but I need you. And he re-enlisted him into the army of God. Listen to me, folks. I don't know what God's going to ask you to go through, and I don't know what Satan's going to unleash on you, but you know what? Jesus Christ will always provide for you when you need it. That sheepfold, that place of protection. And he acts as the door of that sheepfold. Remember, the door opens to a place of protection with strong, tall walls that protect you. And remember, folks, those walls. I want to just give you young people this. The preacher, I sure like the idea of being protected and helped. And I like the idea of that sheepfold when I need it. Remember this, folks. Walls not only protect you, walls limit you. Okay? We might as well say it. We need to say it. A lot of times people want the protection of the confines of the will of God, but they don't want the limitations of the confines of the will of God. You young people, look up here and listen to me. You know what? Let me tell you how much your parents love you. I can tell you how much they love you. They love you so much they make rules. They love you so much that they build walls. They love you so much that they set limitations. Well, preacher, that don't sound like love to me. That's because you're not very bright. But you're getting there. And I think some of you are showing some maturity beyond your years. It's always wonderful when you see a young person who stops struggling against the walls and start thanking God for the walls. Stop struggling against the limitations and start thanking God for the limitations. Don't be resentful towards your mom and dad because they have some rules in your home. You ought to thank God. You ought to thank God. I could take you right now to hundreds and thousands of young people whose parents don't care one way or another. You say, well, I wish I had that. Oh, no, you need to talk to these young people. You need to catch their tears. You need to see their heartbreak. You know what they know? They know mom and dad don't truly love me. If they love me, they'd protect me. And so thank God. Thank God. Don't let the devil tell you young people, well, I tell you what, this sheepfold, it's just too confining. So it's dark out, I can handle it. I can go out there and roam along by myself and I'll be fine. No, you can't. No, you can't. Thank God for Bible principles. There's going to be a day where there won't be a mom or a dad there to put rules up in your life. That's why you, as a young person, need to study and learn the principles of the Bible. Thank you, adults, for setting Bible principles, safe boundaries in your life. Those not only give you comfort and protection, but they will limit you in some areas. And sometimes those limitations may seem a little frustrating, but I'm telling you what, you're so much wiser to stay within the boundaries of Bible principle than you are to decide that you can handle it. You don't need them, because the ones that stray outside and say to the door, open and let me out, but it's dark out, you need to stay here. Open and let me out, I know what I'm doing. They always get torn asunder. Sooner or later, the roaring lion seeks them out to devour them. So number one, the sheep were placed in this sheepfold during the dark hours when they needed protection. Number two, the sheep, boy, get this, the sheep had to enter the sheepfold through a door. Through a door. Jesus said this, I am the door of the sheep. You know, he starts out in verse number one, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold. And you know what? He was kind of hoping they would get that. They weren't too spiritually minded. And so down in verse number 8 and 9, he finally, or 7, 8, 9, he finally blurts out in verse 9, I am the door. It's like they weren't getting the spiritual application. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. The sheep, if they were going to have the protection of the fold, had to enter in through the door. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. And again, he said, I am the door. Jesus, the I am, is the door of the sheepfold. He's saying to this, he's saying this to you, I would like to become, if you're saying this morning, I would like to become one of God's sheep. I want to be a member of the flock. Preacher, I sure would like the protection of the sheepfold. In this dark world, I'd love the security of knowing that I'm a child of God, saved, secure, and that Jesus is my good shepherd. Listen, all of that's available to you, but you got to go through the door. You have to go through the door. All right, let me get some smart young men here. I'm going to see if I can get you to make a guess for me. All right, Chad, you're a brilliant young man. No, you just need to stay there. I didn't ask you to come here. All right, there you go. All right, I want you to start thinking about something. I want you to try to think and come up with a number of how many doors you think are in this church building I'm standing in right here. Not in the gym, not in the new building. How many doors do you think are in this church? Upstairs, downstairs, total number of doors. Okay, Jacob, you want to start calculating that? You guys aren't thinking about the message anyway, so I might as well get you thinking about something, all right? Capture your attention for a few minutes here, all right? I got an idea. Let's get a girl to volunteer to do that, and we'll see if a girl will come closer to figuring out how many doors. What girl thinks they could come up with a good number here? Okay, Lynette, I saw your hand. All right, Lynette, you think... You just scan through, okay? I'm going to give you a few minutes. We'll count the ones in the auditorium. By the way, the double doors right there would count as two because you know what? They are double. Okay, yeah, right, exactly. So if you wanted to walk in this auditorium, folks, you could come through that door or you could come through. There's number two. There's number three. There's number four. There's number five. There's number six. There's number seven. Or there's actually an eighth door. You could come into the baptistry door, sneak around, splash through the water, and jump into the auditorium. And so you have options here. Let me say this. If you want to go to heaven, you don't have eight options. You don't have seven options. You don't have six options. Well, I know, preacher, that you believe it this way, but I see it this way. Well, it doesn't matter what I believe and what you believe. It matters what the Bible says. Jesus said, I'm the door. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, you've got options if you want to walk into this auditorium of which door you want to come in. But I'm telling you this, you don't have an option when it comes to entering the sheepfold. If you're going to be saved, you're going to come through Jesus Christ. That's it. What do you think? How many, Chad? I still can. All right. I've only got so much time here. I'll give you another 30 seconds, okay? And I'm going to preach for 30 seconds. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You have to walk through the door. You have to walk through the door. I'm a little worried. I see a lot of people that know a lot about the door, but they've never walked through the door. I know some people that even believe in the door. Well, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but they've never walked through the door. You know, you can stand at a door and you can put it under a microscope. You can get a magnifying glass out. You can take notes on it. You can polish it. But if you don't walk through it, you're not saved. All right, that's enough. How many? 60? What do you think? 46, 60? What do you think? 52. Wow. You believe this, folks? There are 71 doors in just this church building. If we just had a yard sale and sold the doors in this church, we could probably pave the parking lot. 71, actually technically 71 and a half doors, because there's a half one in my office right there area. So would you have thought that? 71, you know what? You know what the world wants to believe? That there's 71 and a half ways to heaven, and there's not. Well, preacher, you don't understand. Yeah, I know the Muslims don't worship call God what we call them, but they just have a different name for them, and we're all worse. I know the Indians, they used to worship this God by this name or this God by this name, but it's all that. No, it's not the same. There's none other name given amongst men whereby you must be saved than Jesus Christ. I am the door, he said. I am the door. Well, we're all going to the same place. You ever heard that? We're all going to the same place. We're just taking different roads. No, no. You know what? The devil's tricked you. He's got you on a road and told you that it's going to lead to heaven, but it's going right to the lake of fire. You must be born again. You must be saved. Now, folks, listen to me. Listen to me very quickly. I guess, Chad, that would make you the winner then, right? And you said what? 46. And you said 60. So a girl beat you. A girl beat you. Okay. That was enjoyable. Amen. I appreciate the opportunity to make fun of Jacob this morning. All right. Now, listen very carefully, folks. I want to read this to you. Matthew chapter 7. Not every man, it worries me. We've got a lot of people hanging around the door, know everything about the door. can quote verses about the door, can tell you truths they learned about the door, but I don't know if they've ever went through the door. Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? People preaching about the door that's never walked through the door. In thy name cast out devils. Use Jesus' name to fight spiritual battles, but never walk through the door. Are you getting this? In thy name done many wonderful works. I mean, in the name of Jesus. In his name did all of these things. Never walked through the door. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, I thought about this thought. When I think about the door, I couldn't help as I was studying this out, thinking about a message my dad preached years ago. The man who kissed heaven's door and went to hell. The man who kissed heaven's door. You talk about get close. I mean, the Bible talks about a man by the name of Judas. He said to the Sanhedrin, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same as he, hold him fast. Forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. You think about that, Judas, who was a disciple of Jesus Christ. Judas, who was trained by Jesus, who had all of the private teaching sessions, who was paired up with the other disciples to go out and to preach and to have power over devils. Judas. Who slept where Jesus slept and walked where Jesus walked. And yet, he never truly received Jesus as Savior. Even kissed the face of Jesus. And the Bible says he ended up going to hell. Look right up here. I'm going to say it again. I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation. That's not my job. But everybody in here, your salvation ought to be able to hold up to a scriptural examination, a Holy Spirit examination. From time to time, it's good for every single one of us to go back and say, have I truly been saved? Are you just trusting in some religious experience that you had? Well, I marched up the aisle one day, preacher, and I told the pastor I wanted to join a church, and my name's on the church rolls. Well, is it in the Lamb's Book of Life? But I went and I talked to a preacher, and he told me I needed to be baptized, so I was baptized. So I'm trusting in my baptism to get me to... No, you must be born again. The door doesn't say baptism. The door says Jesus. Now listen, folks. Don't end up like Judas. Don't spend your life around the door, but never walking through the door. The sheep had to enter the sheepfold through the door. You know, what's one of the things that's so exciting about being in a gospel preaching church is that when you preach the gospel on a regular basis, guess what? People get saved. People get saved. I got to go to the third grade class this morning. Man, I'm telling you what, I'm promoting my way right on through there. And you talk about a great group of young people. Sister Angie Sager, she usually teaches that class. This month, Lindsay Klein is teaching that class. We've taken some of our college students. We're giving them teaching opportunities just for good experience. So I came in and bumped Lindsay and took over the class and got to teach on the second lesson out of our Sunday school curriculum on the life of Samuel and Samuel as a child. And we got to talk about how Samuel worshiped the Lord and how children can worship the Lord and how he served the Lord, ministered before the Lord, and how children could serve the Lord. Then my favorite part of the lesson, I told him, was when Samuel heard the voice of God. You know what? God still speaks the voice of children today. He still speaks out their voice. Aren't you glad that God knows our name? He still speaks the name of children today. Aren't you glad he knows our name? Aren't you? I told the young people, you know what? I had to ask your name when I got in here, and I did. I went around and asked everybody's name so I could learn who they were, and knew most of their names, but some of them I didn't. And I said, you know what? God never has to ask you, who are you? He knows who you are. And not only does he know your name, but many times, starting as a child in your life, many times, you'll hear the voice of God call to you specifically, speak to you specifically. Say, preacher, is it like Samuel where it was an audible voice? No, but it'll be so real it might as well as be. I remember in those early tender years, those of you that were raised in church, when the voice of God began to call your name for the first time. You know, it caused Samuel some confusion. And you know what? A lot of times when God first starts speaking to us and speaking to our hearts and speaking to us personally and specifically, we know something's going on, but we can't figure out what. We know something's happening. We can't figure out who's doing it. But if we're just patient, and especially if we go and get some counsel like like Samuel did. It's amazing how all of a sudden we can begin to understand that that still small voice, isn't that what the Bible calls it, that still small voice, is calling our name and speaking to us. I can remember as a child when the Holy Spirit began to speak my name, Jerry. Jerry, just like Samuel, bringing me and drawing me towards salvation. I can remember after I was saved. By the way, you don't have to be a child for that to happen. Sometimes adults could stand and testify and say, you know, the first time I heard God personally speak my name was under the preaching of the Bible as an adult person. You may be here and you're without Christ. Teenager, has God ever come and spoke to you and drawed you? The Bible says that the Spirit and the bride saith, come! You know, the Holy Spirit, one of his job is to say, come, come to Christ, come to Christ, come to Christ. Jesus said, no man cometh unto me unless the Father draw him. And so the Father joins in and begins to draw you towards the Son. And Jesus says, whosoever will. And he's the whole power of the triune God focuses on a lost person during a salvation message and says, come, 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 come. Aren't you excited that voice still speaks today? We got done with the message. And by the way, there's two of the young men in there that didn't raise their hand that they were saved, didn't raise their hand that they were under conviction. And we want to continue to pray. We've got young people in our church right here that need to be saved. Let's not fail to pray for our own, okay? But also, there was a little boy. I asked his name. He said his name was Ace. Ace. And a third grade boy raised his hand, came on bus 505 this morning. Raised his hand under conviction. If you hear the voice of God in your life, you know, preacher, if I died right now, I don't know what would happen to me. And one of the ladies, I don't know if it was Lindsay, did you talk to him, Lindsay? Got to sit down with Ace and open the Bible. You know what happened? The door swung open. The door swung open. The door swung open. And that young person got to come to Jesus Christ and accept Jesus Christ this morning. Man, I like being in a place like this. I like just preaching the gospel. What a privilege just to stand before children. You Sunday school teachers, God bless you. You've got a great job. You've got a great opportunity. Just keep preaching Jesus. Never forget, you don't know the hearts of all those children, no matter what the lesson is about. And I know sometimes we teach, and the majority of the thrust of the lesson is for Christian young people, but you know what? Sometime during that lesson, stop. And understand there may be a child there that needs to hear the voice of God, needs to hear a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stop from time to time and tell them how to be saved. The sheep, listen, they had to enter through the door. Have you been saved? Have you entered through the door to the sheepfold? Let me give you the third and last thought. Number one, the sheep were placed here during the night, during the dark hours, to be protected from the predator. Number two, the sheep had to enter the sheepfold through a door. Number three, anyone or anything that tried to enter into the sheepfold any other way than the door, the Bible says that they are a thief and a robber, a thief and a robber. Is that what Jesus said here? You notice, folks, a lot of times we as preachers, we start kind of mild, and we start kind of with a soothing idea, and then we get to hard truth. Have you ever noticed the style of Jesus Christ? In verse number 1, he starts out with this point. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Boom! Man! Okay, let's just start out. Let's go. Right away, he wanted to establish something. You're not going to listen, and you're not going to understand that you've got to go through the right door if you are already convinced that you've got some other way to get into the sheepfold. Now, let me just be shotgun straight with you. Look up here and listen. It's time for the preacher to preach. It's time for him to say what the Bible says. The Bible says if you are trying to get to heaven other than through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you're a thief and you're a robber. There's some scoundrels standing behind sacred desks right now during this hour. There's some scoundrels out there, and they have the heart of many times sincere people, and they are presenting to them a false gospel, a false way. If you come up here and let me stick this wafer on your tongue and take a sip out of this glass, you'll go to heaven. That's another way. That makes you a thief and a robber. That does not get you to heaven. That does not make you one of the sheep. If you get baptized, you'll go to heaven. You put money in the offering plate, you'll go to heaven. What a wicked thing. What a horrible thing. Folks, listen to me. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's not two ways, three ways, my way, your way. There's the Bible way to heaven. And if you try to go up any other way, the Bible says, I'm going to say it plain, you're a thief. And you're, well, preacher, I'm going to get in some other way. No, you won't. No, you won't. God doesn't need AT&T. ADT. He doesn't need ADT. He's got the best security system in the world. No man's ever gotten to heaven by picking a lock or breaking down the door or jimmying a window. No one's ever outsmarted God, did an end around by stealth. You will not get into heaven any other way than through the door, which is Jesus Christ. You'll go that way or you won't go at all. And by the way, if you try to get there in some other way, or somebody tries to convince you that there's some other way, Jesus has already labeled him. That man is a thief. That man is a robber. He's not one of mine. He does not hear my voice. He is not a member of the sheepfold. And so my job as a preacher is to tell you that there is a way that you can know that you're going to heaven. There is a way to be saved, but that way is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit of God does not just talk to third grade boys? Aren't you glad that he's here in the auditorium with us this morning? He comes to teenagers who are lost and he says, I am the door. I am the door. He comes to young adults that are struggling. He says, I am the door. He comes to middle-aged people that have never really been saved. He said, I'm the door. He even comes to senior citizens and says, I am the door. And folks, let me say this. When you become one of the sheep and you become saved, during those dark times in your life, Jesus hasn't forgotten you. He's still the door. He's still the door of the sheepfold. He's still there to protect you during those dark hours. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me ask the question. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? Do you know that 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 you're saved? Do you have any doubt about that? Can you look at the timeline of your life and find that place? Somewhere between when you were born and right now in your life, can you look back at the timeline of your life and find that time, that place, where you fell under Holy Spirit conviction of your sin, realized that you were a sinner in need of a Savior, understood the gospel that Jesus Christ was both Lord and Master and Savior, and he had died for your sins, and now he presents to you an opportunity to be saved. He died for you. He was buried and rose again. That's the gospel story. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved? Preacher, if I died right now, I don't know what would happen. I'll just be honest with you. I fear what might happen. I don't know for sure that I'm saved. But I do know this. I hear God speaking. I hear God calling. I know God's working in my heart. I know I need to be saved today. If you're here without Christ as your Savior, and you know that you need to be saved, would you raise your hand so that I could pray for you? No one's looking around. I won't embarrass you. I won't come to you. I just want to pray for you this morning. Preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. Please pray for me. God is working in my life. Just slip your hand up so I can pray for you real quickly. How many say, preacher, you know what? When you talk about being targeted, when you talk about those midnight hours, when you talk about the darkness, I know what you're talking about. I may not feel free to maybe tell everyone everything about what's going on, but I will tell you this. I do feel like that this is a time in my life when I need the sheepfold, and I need the shepherd, and I need the door, and I need help and encouragement in my Christian life. Preacher, I feel like either me personally or somebody that I care a whole lot about is under the direct attack of Satan, and the devil's after him, working hard in their life. Preacher, I needed to hear that this morning. Just slip your hand up. Preacher, there's a situation I'd like to have prayer about. There's a situation I'd like to have prayer about all over the room. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for being Lord for us, all that we need. The great I am. I am the door. Jesus said, I'm the door. I pray, dear God. I didn't see a hand. Maybe there's someone that raised a hand. I didn't see it. But if there's anyone here without Christ as their Savior, I pray that they'd be born again. And for those, Lord, that just need the good shepherd in a special way, Lord, please, we would ask that you would take care, dear God. Through the daytime, lead them into green pastures. Help them, Lord, as they lie down beside still waters. Protect them in those daytime hours. And then, Lord, as darkness falls, pray that you would secure them in the sheepfold. Be that great door of protection. Lord, I pray that you would help every single Christian that may be struggling. Maybe they're concerned about someone who's facing some type of a satanic attack in their life. Lord, may they feel free to use the altar. Oft times, what a blessed thing to go in intercessory prayer for someone else. And Lord, it's certainly not a wrong thing or a selfish thing to find an altar of prayer and simply cry out and say, God, I need you. I need you. Bless our invitation time. We pray.